Hello, friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable, and if you recognize that theme song, you know what time it is. It's time for Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF. We're glad to be with you in Madison, North Florida, South Georgia, wherever this radio station is reaching. If you're listening by the World Wide Web, anywhere in America, anywhere in the world, we welcome you today. Amen. As we told you last week, we had a letter from Germany. Someone had a biblical question. They listened to this broadcast in Germany, and they had that question answered, and they wrote us a letter saying that they are grateful for this broadcast. So I would like to encourage others right there in Madison, churches and ministers that minister here on WMAF, that whether you get the letter or not, your message is getting out and it's going beyond the reach of the station itself there in Madison. It's going through the World Wide Web, anywhere God wants to take it, to anyone that God wants to send it to. So I would just encourage every ministry that ministers and utilizes the web and utilizes the airways, that we might get the gospel of Jesus Christ to everyone who will hear it around the world. That gives a potential to little churches like ours and others. You know, you don't have to be a mega church pastor to have a message that God will take to the nations. All we have to do is utilize the technology that's available to us today. And we're so grateful to be part of the great company publishing God's great truth from the Bible around the world. So to our fellow ministers and ministries right there in Madison, we bless you. We pray that God will make your ministry fruitful for His honor and His glory and His kingdom. Praise God. We're not in competition with anyone. We're in full, absolute cooperation to get the harvest in. I believe Jesus' coming is very, very, very soon. Amen. All right. If you have your Bibles, we're studying a great subject out of James chapter 5 and verse 16 is our foundational springboard scripture, if you please, as we launch into this study of God's Word on the subject, the awesome power of answered prayer. The awesome power of answered prayer. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, let's read together verse 16 of James 5. It says, "Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Now, in our previous studies, we talked about sin itself and how prayers are hindered because of unconfessed, unrepented sin in our life. In the Old Covenant, for review, it said, "My ear is not heavy that it can't hear. My hand is not short that it cannot save. But your sins have separated between you and your God." In the New Testament, in John 9, in verse 31, it said, "Now we know." See, it was a given. They knew that. In Jesus' day, it said, "Now we know that God heareth not sinners." Those that live in unconfessed habitual sin. "But if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth His will, him He heareth." I want to delineate and distinguish up front right now the difference between positional righteousness, which is not of works, it's a free gift. Just like salvation that allows for that standing with God is a gift, not of works, lest any man should boast. I'm not talking about our relationship to the Lord, that sonship that's granted by gift when we repent of our sins and receive Christ as our Savior. I'm talking about our fellowship. You know, the Bible said two can't walk together except they agree. Amen. My son is my son no matter what. He is my son. But if we take different directions in life, we can't walk together. But when we walk in the same direction, we have fellowship one with another. And I'm talking about those things not in the area of our positional righteousness and standing, but in our personal walk with God. Those things in the heart that would hinder our prayers from being answered. If there's unconfessed sin, we need to confess it. If there are idols in the heart that we dealt with, we need to put the kingdom first once again. For the Father knows what we have need of, and if we seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, all these things shall be added unto us. We need to deal effectively with selfishness. We have not because we ask not. James said we ask and receive not because we ask amiss, to consume it on ourselves or on our own selfish desires and lust. We talked about stubbornness, the root of all disobedience, that rebellion against all that God is speaking. Amen. And how we need to surrender our lives and offer our body a living sacrifice and surrender our wills that God may answer our prayers. Praise God. Today we're going to talk about one of the toughest areas to deal with, that we have to be very honest. That's why the scripture said begin this process of introspect and looking deep within the heart by confessing our faults to one another. And I believe if we'll be real honest today, we can remove another barrier to answered prayer and open the gateway for God's power and presence to be manifest in our behalf, that He might be glorified and that we might receive the help that we need from Him. It's a win-win. You know, if we come with thanksgiving, filled with gratitude in our heart before the Lord, according to Psalm 50 and verse 15, He said, "Then call upon Me in the time of trouble. I will deliver you, and thou shalt glorify Me." Amen. We receive the help that we need, and God receives the glory that distinguishes Him as the true and the living God. In the Old Covenant, amen, when Israel was right with God, amen, He was able to bless them, keep them, defend them, protect them, provide for them, and earn them the reputation. Who has a God like our God? A God so nigh us, listen to answered prayer here, a God so nigh us in all that we call upon Him for. Praise God. His presence was not a liver shiver that many people are looking for on Sunday morning. And don't get me wrong, I love the presence of God manifest by the Holy Spirit until we actually sense His presence. His presence was made known by answered prayer. That was the issue on top of Carmel. It's still the issue today. Let the God that answers by fire, let the God that answers prayer. Amen. In this case, it wasn't a prayer for fire. It was just a prayer for God to distinguish Himself as the true and the living God. And God sent that fire in answer to a paragraph prayer. Praise God. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. Isn't that incredible? But he prayed, and God answered his prayer. That's what we're looking at today. Today we're going to talk about unforgiveness, the spirit of unforgiveness. I want to read from Mark chapter 11 and verse 25. Jesus said, "And whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your transgressions. But if you do not forgive, neither will your heavenly Father who is in heaven forgive you your transgressions." Listen to it again. If you do not forgive, neither will your heavenly Father who is in heaven forgive you your transgressions. You see, our forgiveness, that we might maintain fellowship with God, is based on forgiving others. That's why Jesus, in the pattern prayer that we commonly call the Lord's Prayer, we're supposed to pray like this: Lord, forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. We can't be forgiven while withholding forgiveness from others. Someone said, if you do not forgive, you'd better never, ever make a mistake. You'd better never, ever sin. You better live a sinlessly perfect life in attitude and activity. No one can do that. That's why God sent His Son. That's why He shed His blood. No one can do that. But we can forgive. That is within God's purpose in our life. It's within His provision of the Holy Spirit to help us to do this. But we've got to be very real, very open, and very honest about the issue of forgiveness. Unforgiveness in the heart of believers grieves God and hinders prayers. God refuses to be approached with an unforgiving spirit. A grudge or a root of bitterness may be blocking the answers to prayers. This is the most common hindrance to prayer, because we're living in a broken world filled with people with broken lives. If I could see a show of hands in this listening audience today of people who someone has wronged, someone who is hurt deeply, someone maybe lied upon you, someone took money from you and refuses to try to make it right and pay you back, someone has talked about you, someone has failed you somewhere in life, and it hurts so deeply, you became so angry, and you're holding that anger inside. Someone said, if you walk in unforgiveness, it's like drinking poison and hoping that your enemy will die. Friend, today God wants that barrier to be removed so that He can answer prayer. He can't violate His Word or the laws and principles within His Word in order to help us. The great help we need is to help us to come clean with God, to get our hearts clear. You know, the Bible said, if our hearts condemn us, God's greater than our heart, knoweth all things. But if our heart condemn us not, we have confidence toward God. That simply means we have bold faith. Praise the Lord. When I know my heart's clean, I can believe God is going to hear. God is going to answer. My faith expands and explodes. Hallelujah. But when there's something in my heart, you know, David said it very well in the Old Covenant. He said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear me. Amen. He knew that when I confess my sin and I'm cleansed from my sin, then God can and will hear and answer my cry. Praise God. Oh, friend, today, don't draw back when God turns His searchlight upon something in our heart that He wants to remove. Run to Him, not from Him, for the help that we need to deal with these great, important, vital issues in our hearts and in our lives. I think too many times we try to claim these prayer scriptures and just use our faith and our confession and our authority over the enemy instead of taking authority over our own weak flesh and taking up our cross in order to follow Jesus, crucifying the flesh and the lust thereof, that we might follow Jesus in absolute committed devotion and reality, so that God can bless us, so that God can keep us, so that God can use us. Hallelujah. Amen. When you stand praying, there's an attitude to check in our heart. And you say, well, Pastor, someone hurt me, someone wronged me, you don't understand, let me tell you my story. You know, it doesn't matter about the story that we're telling. Amen. It matters whether or not we have a heart to obey God or not, or whether we're going to justify disobedience. Listen to me carefully today. It's hard to forgive people who have hurt us and made us angry and who do not deserve forgiveness. But the Bible said, if God for Jesus' sake hath forgiven you, then you ought to forgive one another. That word ought simply means it's a shortened form of owe to. We owe forgiveness to everyone who has wronged us because we have received forgiveness because of the grace and mercy of God. There's a spiritual law that is in effect. Amen. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Mercy is not deserved. It's akin to grace. It's undeserved, but it is granted freely. And when we show mercy, we qualify for mercy. But when we do not show mercy, we qualify for judgment and chastisement. Listen, the same judgment we meet without, the Scriptures teach, shall be meted to us again. That means how I deal with others dictates how God is able to deal with me. I want to forgive others because I need forgiveness. I want to be merciful to others because I need mercy. I grew up during the 50s, and there was a song in the late 50s or early 60s, and it was one of those little catchy tune ditty songs that didn't make a lot of sense, and it was, "My boomerang won't come back. My boomerang won't come back. I've waved the thing all over the place, and I'm a big disgrace to the Aborigine race because my boomerang won't come back." This tool to hunt with, to throw and hit a rabbit with or some other animal with, was designed, if you missed your target, it was aerodynamically designed to come back. We call some things the boomerang effect because it comes around and it comes back. We commonly say what goes around comes around. God's Word says it more specifically. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that exact thing he shall also reap. If we sow the wind, we're told that we will reap the whirlwind. If we sow liberally, we will reap liberally. If we sow sparingly, we reap sparingly. It is a set spiritual law. So we can't be forgiven unless we forgive. We can't obtain mercy unless we grant mercy. And he said the time to deal with this is when you stand praying. Make sure that your heart attitude is not filled with the spirit of unforgiveness. Amen. I remember the story of Corrie ten Boom, this great Christian woman who endured such hardship in her life, being put in a prison camp during the Nazi occupation of Holland. And she was put in a prison camp because her granddaddy actually sheltered Jewish people as a Christian man. And her grandpa died in a prison camp. Her sister died in Ravensbrück, where she and her sister were incarcerated and tormented and treated so terribly. And her sister's dying words to Corrie was watching her sister die because of the lack of food and the ill treatment of their adversaries, and watching her sister's dying gasp, her sister said, "Corrie, don't hate." She knew the enemy would try to use this as a wedge into Corrie's life, into her heart, and to hinder her prayers and her testimony. And she said, "Corrie, don't hate." In other words, Corrie, and you know the only way you cannot hate is to forgive. When someone hurts you that deeply, does you that wrong, the only way to not hate is not to just not hate. It's to forgive. Because when we forgive, it is a divine thing. It's like God. It's God-likeness. Godliness is practiced. It's not normal. It's not the way this fallen world and fallen man within it operates. When we grant forgiveness, we're more like God than when we're standing singing His high praises in a beautiful cathedral. When unconditional forgiveness for Jesus' sake is granted, not because someone deserves it, but for Jesus' sake. If God, for Jesus' sake, has forgiven you, so ought you to forgive one another. And when forgiveness operates, it removes a barrier to answered prayer. And when prayers can be answered, they will be answered. God is faithful to His Word, faithful to His covenant, and faithful to His people. Can you say amen to that out in radio land today and wherever you're hearing this? God is faithful. I'm learning down through the years not to question God's faithfulness, but to have a healthy, holy introspect. I want that David attitude. Amen. The psalmist David who has said, "Search me, O Lord, and see if there be any unclean way within me." He said, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, you won't hear me." He said, "I know that, so I want you to search me, and I want to see what is wrong within me, that I might get it right before you. Search me, O Lord." This takes an honesty and a sincerity that God honors so very, very greatly today. Amen. So Corrie ten Boom took heed to those last words, and as much as she knew how, she forgave her captors, and she made it through that awful ordeal. And she came out the other side and became a tremendous witness and testimony of God's faithfulness. And one day after sharing that testimony and speaking, many people were coming to shake her hand, and she was so filled with joy and peace until she saw a man in the aisle that brought back all of the memories of the hurt and the pain. She saw a man coming down the aisle to shake her hand and recognized him as one of the guards, one of the guards that had done cruel things to those under his jurisdiction. And when she saw him, she said, "It all rolled back. Everything that I thought had been settled, it all came back into the forefront of my mind and my heart. And I saw him and I felt anger." And she said, "Lord, I don't love this man." As she was shaking hands, she prayed under her breath and she said, "Lord, I don't love this man. I don't love this man, but I know I am told by you that I must love this man. So Lord, love this man through me." She prayed that she might forgive and love this man. In spite of her normal, natural tendency, she was overriding her own flesh in order to obey God. And that is hard to do, but when we determine to do it and ask for God's help, that help is going to come. She said when he took her hand, she didn't feel. By the time he got there, the Holy Spirit had helped her to forgive him and to love him. And before he said a word, she felt the love of God flowing through her to him. And with tears running down his cheeks, he said, "Corrie, do you recognize me?" She said, "Oh yes, I remember you from Ravensbrook." He said, "Corrie, I don't know if you can ever find it in your heart to forgive me. But I have accepted Christ as my Savior, and I've come here today to ask you for forgiveness." And she said, "I've already forgiven you. I love you, brother." Amen. And she hugged him and kissed him on the cheek. And something in Satan's kingdom of darkness had to shake that day, because he lost a battle for Corrie's heart. He lost a doorway in through anger and unforgiveness. And that great floodgate of heaven's grace and mercy flowed into this old sin-darkened world where the love of God trumped hate, triumphed over anger and bitterness. Amen. God is a prayer answering God. Amen. And when we stand praying, the Bible said we need to search our hearts and we need to forgive. If we have aught against anybody, we need to forgive them. I'm thinking right now in the closing moments of this broadcast, I had a stroke a year and a half ago, a stroke that had the potential to kill me, or at least debilitate me for the rest of my life. I remember when it happened, how it happened, where it happened, and how quickly it came, and how helpless I felt when my arm went completely numb on the left side. My face drooped. I could hardly speak because my mouth was affected, and I fell forward and couldn't brace myself and hit my head on the floor. And as the paramedics came and took me away and they took me to the hospital, they acknowledged that I'd had a stroke, and it was a bad one. And in 3 days, I walked out of the hospital with no symptoms at all and no residue from that stroke. And a nurse telling me in an elevator one day, "Do you know," she said, "I work with these things every single day, and do you know that you are a walking miracle?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am, I know. God has answered prayer." People begin to pray, and I prayed. But I want to tell you today, because the Bible said to confess your faults to one another, I want to tell you today, just before that stroke happened, I had had an altercation with someone that I love that had hurt me so very, very bad. And I had prayed, "Lord, I forgive this person. I knew what I should do," and I had prayed about it. But I don't believe that I had actually come to that place of releasing that person. Every time I thought of them, I could feel that rising up in of how wrong they had done me, how I perceived such a wrong, such a hurt, and I didn't hate them, but I don't believe that I truly forgave them. But when I hit that floor, the Holy Spirit brought it to my memory. "Bobby, forgive right here, right now. I want to help you. God wants to help you, but forgive right here, right now." It was crucial that when I prayed for the help I needed and others prayed for me, that I get rid of this attitude that I thought was gone, but obviously it wasn't, because I felt that need. And before I asked God to help me, before I asked God to heal me, before I rebuked the devil or bound the enemy, before I stood on the Word or claimed the Scripture, I cried out to God and said, "Father, I forgive and I name the person. And I do it for Jesus' sake. In the name of Jesus Christ, I forgive." Whether I go to heaven right now, I don't want that in my heart, or whether He healed me right now, I want this out of my heart. And His peace came all over me, and His presence and His power. And in 3 days, God raised me up without a residue of stroke, without any speech impediment, with that arm that was deader than a doornail, able to work and rise up in praise to Him. Amen. Everything in my faculties came back to me after this brush with death and debilitation. God, oh, came through in such a marvelous way. Amen. Hallelujah. When we called upon Him and we got rid of the barrier to the blessing, somebody listening to this broadcast today, amen, knows you should forgive, but don't know if you can forgive. Amen. Do it for Jesus' sake, in the name of Jesus. If God for Jesus' sake has forgiven you, so ought we. We owe to, that's what that word "ought" means. We owe it to God and to that person to forgive them. Let forgiveness flow. God will help you through it. God will help you do it. "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." And when that forgiveness is granted, God's peace and power can flow to you. God's prayer, God's power to answer prayer will come into play, and God will turn your test into a testimony. Praise God. Hallelujah. Today is the day to let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go, and let God fill you and keep you and answer you and help you. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, I pray today that you will pray the prayer that He will hear, in spite of all the minions of hell, and that is, "Forgive my sin. I'm sorry. I repent. I receive you right now as my Lord and my Savior. And then you can talk to Him about everything you need, and He will help you. We love you today. Would you come back next week and let's talk about Jesus?